Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 302, Proverbs 23. So we went to Baltimore over the weekend and we got to visit family, and that was wonderful. We don't usually go this time of year, but Ryan, my husband, was playing in a company tournament with his brother and a golf tournament. And so the boys and I, luckily the boys happened to have off school, and we tagged along so that we could see my niece's new baby. And his name is Angelo, baby Angelo, and he's so cute and precious and perfect. And there's just something about a new baby that just kind of, it just breathes new joy into a family, and it just reminds you to take it slow and enjoy the little things. That was a wonderful weekend. But anyways, so this Proverbs 23, the first three verses stood out to me because it was an interesting use of words. He says, Solomon says, while dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat. Don't desire all the delicacies, for he might be trying to trick you. Solomon is not being literal. If you're hungry and you are really excited about the food, to put a knife to your throat. He's not being literal there. He's saying, it's just to make a point, saying don't be distracted or impressed by the food. Pay attention more to the conversation that you will be having with the king, because a king or a ruler doesn't invite someone for a meal unless there's a reason. So it's very important that you stay connected to the conversation and to body language and to what's happening, and to go, don't get distracted and won over by the food, because like it says, he may be trying to trick you. You can let someone's guard down just by getting them excited by all the wonderful food. So, okay. Verses 4 and 5. Are very telling, very relevant to today. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears. That is so true. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And this isn't saying that we need to be wise enough to know when to quit. That's not saying quit our jobs. We need to be good stewards of our resources, go to work every day, do what needs to be done. But don't get so preoccupied building wealth that you forget to live, right? There's a quote about that, but don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Don't focus on that too much. That shouldn't be our end goal. And those who fear the Lord and read his word know that there are many dangers that come with wealth. Along with wealth is distraction and temptation and disconnect from our roots, from where we came from the people that love us, from our family, and most importantly, from God. So that one we could definitely take to heart. Verse 9, don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice. When it says fools, it doesn't mean dumb people. It means haters of God, people that hate God. Let's not waste our breath on them. They don't want to see it. They won't see it. There's nothing that we could possibly say that would convince them. So don't waste your breath, right? I'm also going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Okay, that verse says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. I think we've talked about that one before. Okay, verses 10 and 11. Don't cheat your neighbor by moving the ancient boundary markers. Don't take the land of defenseless orphans. For their Redeemer is strong. He himself will bring their charges against you. So let us always remember, first of all, that those boundary markers were very important. They were put there by God. God determined who got what land. Right? And those were not to be moved. So that refers to that, but it also just refers to the idea that even now today, we don't move our boundary markers around. It's important that we have integrity and we don't try to take more than what has been given us. Don't take the land of defenseless orphans. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. If it's not the right thing, do the right thing. Those who fear God desire to do the right thing. For their Redeemer is strong. I love this because it says that the defenseless orphans, you know, they may seem like easy pickings, but those who come against the poor and defenseless, the orphans and the widows, Scripture tells us over and over and over again to care for the orphans and the widows. We do not take advantage of them. If we do, we can be sure that we will pay the penalty to the point of death because their Redeemer is God, the Lord. He cares for them. They may seem like the downtrodden to some, but God cares about them greatly. That should also be a reminder to those of us who are poor and struggling. Your Redeemer is strong. He goes before you. Anyone who brings charges against you or takes advantage of you will see justice. Maybe not in the time frame we would like it to happen, but they will. Verse 13, don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. That is true, they won't. Physical discipline may well save them from death. There's a couple meanings for this. You know, my oldest son, Ethan, I didn't have to spank him much. I really only remember one time that I had to spank him. And that was because I think he was 3 or 4, and I told him not to go into the street, and he did. So he needed a spanking. And literally, having that discipline makes it more memorable to him, and the hope is, and I don't believe he ever did, that he will not go out into the street again, especially without a parent or an adult when he was little. So in that way, literally, it could save them from death. But it could also be that if they don't learn how to submit to the authority of a parent, how will they ever learn to submit to the authority of God? So physical discipline, when it's required, not smacking your kid unnecessarily or hitting or abusing, there's a fine line there. But purposeful discipline, even physical, yes. Spanking is not abuse. I don't believe it is if it's done right. It's necessary. And it may well save them from death. That also means it may well save them from eternal death. Learning discipline is an important quality in following the Lord. Verse 15, my child, if your heart is wise, my own heart will rejoice. Everything in me will celebrate when you speak what is right. We teach our children and we teach our children. And sometimes I feel like I say the same things over and over and over again. And it's so exhausting. And we don't know if anything's getting through to them. It feels, especially during the teenage years, it feels like they don't hear a single thing I'm saying or their dad is saying. They just, you know, sometimes cop an attitude, sometimes just, Yeah. They don't even really take it in. My hope is that some of it's getting through, but time will tell. When my child, and I've experienced this, when they say something that I know, that lets me know their heart is in the right place and that something's getting through to them, when they say, I'm not, you know, when Sam said, when I was trying to get him to watch a video and it was a little bit new agey, and he refused to watch it and said, "That's not about God, Mom. That's wrong, and I'm not watching it." Do you know? I was so happy inside. I mean, I couldn't express and do jumping jacks or anything, but I couldn't express that to him. I was just so brimming with pride that he recognized it and that he cared, right? So when we see those little imprints come through, it's so exciting. That scripture is so true. And then verse 17, don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. It may seem like sinners and wicked people are getting to live the high life, right? And sometimes we can't help it. We get a little like, man, what am I doing? I'm just spinning my wheels here. But it will all work out. God's a fair guy. Justice always plays out, and we know this. We will be rewarded for our faith. Our hope will not be disappointed. Okay, what else? Again, with the warnings about promiscuous women, they are dangerous, as dangerous as falling into a narrow well. She hides and waits like a robber eager to make more men unfaithful. Have you ever met a woman like that? I worked with a woman in Oregon that was like that, and I watched her devour men. I don't know how else to say it. But marriage was no obstacle for her. She had no qualms about having relations with married men. Anyone was fair game. So there are certainly women like that. And I think, honestly, I think oftentimes it is insecurities, and they need to feel like they are more desirable than a wife, which of course is just a totally different game. I mean, anyways, that was disturbing to see that. And that woman actually had the gall to, after I witnessed all of this, because I worked kind of closely with her, she said, "We should hang out, me and my boyfriend, with you and your husband." And I literally said, "No, we will never be hanging out outside of work, and you will never meet my husband." Not that I don't trust my husband, but why would, no, no way. Okay, anyways, verse 29 through 35 is all about alcoholism. Now, I wanted to point out, you know, I am not saying never drink, this is not saying never drink a glass of wine, right? Jesus drank wine. And the only people that were ever specifically forbidden to drink alcohol of any sort are the people in the Old Testament that took the Nazirite vow, if you remember that. I think it was Numbers chapter 6, possibly. They were the only ones forbidden to drink alcohol. So we're not forbidden. Jesus wasn't forbidden. But we are not to be drunkards. We are not to be alcoholic. We are to, you know, they have wine at weddings, and so that makes sense. It's a celebratory drink. And so don't feel guilty every time you have a cup of wine. Just know that it shouldn't be important to you. It shouldn't be something that you desire. It shouldn't be something that you, when it says in verse 31, don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. That's someone who loves their wine. Right? And that's where we have to be careful, because that can get us into trouble. It can make us, it can cause an addiction that separates us from God and causes us to make foolish choices. Absolutely. So that was the whole point of that. So that's really it for this Proverbs. So I will stop there. I think we only have one more Proverbs left, and that is Proverbs 24, and the rest will come later, but we'll go into some other scripture in the meantime, like Song of Solomon. We'll get back into some Kings and Chronicles as well. So get ready for a shift in our reading. So that's it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.